Jesus the Savior came down from above, came to bring mercy and love. Crucify him, the mob scornfully cried, so he on Calvary died. While on the cross he prayed, Father, forgive, for they know not what they do. For us he died that for him we might live. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on you? His blessed will to do. Will you be crowned with the faithful and few? Can he depend on you? He from the grave on the third day arose, missions of man to disclose. Go preach the gospel, all who can may hear, through him be free from all fear. Bid them believe to repent and obey, walk in the newness of life. Keep the light glowing to show them the way, leading from sin and strife. Can he depend on you? His blessed will to do. Will you be crowned with the faithful and true? Can he depend on you? He is preparing in heaven a home for all his faithful and own. Are you preparing to stand by his side, or in that day be denied? Have you told others a story of love, showing them what they should do? These are the precepts that come from above. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on you? His blessed will to do. Will you be crowned with the faithful and true? Can he depend on you?
Once again, we're privileged to be among the finest people on earth, the people of God, and we're glad you're with us. We have visitors with us, and we thank you for coming. Encourage you to get your Bible and search the scriptures with us this afternoon. Appreciate Dad leading us in that song. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? Can he depend on you? I'd like to begin by pointing out the fact that you can depend on him. You know, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that God is faithful. And the Hebrew writer pointed out in Hebrews 6 and verse 18 that it is impossible for God to lie. Men aren't always faithful. You can't always depend on them, right? They tell you they're not going to do something and they do it. They tell you they're going to do something and they don't. They tell you they're going to be there and they don't show up. But when it comes to the Lord, you can depend on him. We've been studying in the Old Testament about God's dealings with his people. And whatever God said, that's the way that it was, right? You could count on it. Just like what God said about Abram back in Genesis 12. Those three great promises concerning land, seed, and nation. All of those have come to pass just like he said. Abraham could depend on him, couldn't he? As the land was given, the book of Joshua talks about that, as he gave him all the land. He made of him a great nation. In the book of Exodus, as the people were in Egyptian bondage, they began to grow and to multiply. And Moses said, what nation is there so great? And every time a person hears the gospel, believes it, and is baptized, he becomes Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. And so you can depend on him. Jesus came down from above, came to bring mercy and love. He on Calvary died. And the Bible also makes this clear. For us he died that for him we might live. And then the question, can he depend on you? I'd like for us to ask ourselves that question. I'll ask myself that. As you ask yourself, can he depend on you. There are a lot of things that I could talk about, a lot of different directions we could go in this lesson. We could ask, can he depend on you to attend? Can he depend on you to give? Can he depend on you to work and to worship and to do other things? But I'd like to list some points from this beautiful song and ask us the question, can he depend on you? I begin with that first verse, which says, for us he died that for him we might live. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on you to live for him? You know, there are lots of different ways we can live. Have you thought about that? Nobody is going to force you to live a certain way. God's not going to make you live how he wants you to live. He's created us as free moral agents, and that we have the ability to choose to live how we wish. Now, he points out on one hand the blessings of living how he wishes, and then the consequences that will come if we choose to live otherwise. But let me quickly remind us of some different ways we can live. First of all, the Bible teaches that we can live in sin. In Romans 6 and 2, Paul said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so you can choose to live your life in sin, a life of transgression of God's law, 1 John 3, 4. A life of unrighteousness, for all unrighteousness is sin, 1 John 5, 17. Another way that you could choose to live is to live after the flesh. In Romans 8 and verse 12, Paul said, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. And so you could choose to live after the flesh. Another way that you could live is to live for yourself. And Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. That pretty well describes how most people in society live today, doesn't it? Just living for themselves. Doing what they want to do whenever they want to do it. Or you could live hypocritically. You know, in Galatians 2 and 14, Paul had to have a little conversation with Peter about that. He said, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Here's Peter, a Jew, who's living like the Gentiles, and he's trying to get the Gentiles to live like the Jews. That's hypocritical, isn't it? And you know, there are some people like that in the church today, who are living like the world and trying to get the world to live like a Christian. And that won't work. Or you could choose to live ungodly. As 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 talks about the world of the ungodly and how the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were turned into ashes, condemned with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. You could live in error, as 2 Peter 2:18 talks about those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Those are some negative ways you really don't want to live, but you can choose to live that way. And then some positive ways that you can live. You could choose to live by the word of God, as Matthew 4:4 finds the Lord enduring temptation of the devil. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. You could choose to live by faith, as Romans 1 and verse 17 says, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11 records a number of people who were said to have walked by faith or lived by faith, beginning with Abel. By faith Abel offered, and a number of excellent characters who followed, like Enoch who pleased God, and Noah who prepared an ark, and Abram who went out not knowing whither he went and offered his son. All of these lived by faith. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. How'd you live your life, Paul? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Would you choose to walk by faith and not by sight? 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Another way you can choose to live is to live in peace. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Or as Paul said in Romans 12, 18, live peaceably with all men. To live that way, you've got to be in the Lord, for In John 16:33, the Lord said, "In the world you'll have tribulation, but in me ye shall have peace." Why live in turmoil and tribulation when you can live in peace today? Or you could choose to live in the Spirit. As Galatians 5 and verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." You could choose to live godly, as Paul penned in 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 12 about those that live godly in Christ Jesus. In writing Titus in chapter 2, he said in verse 12, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live." How should we live in this world, Paul? Soberly, righteously, and godly. You could live that way. But also, you can live honestly. As the book of Hebrews talks about in Hebrews 13 and verse 18, when the ambassador to the Hebrews said, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." And then another way you can live is to live unto righteousness. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 24, Peter talked about Christ who bare our sins in his own body, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. That is, to live right in the sight of God. And then you could live for Jesus. As 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 says, "He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." That's the motivation of this song, isn't it? Can he depend on you? "For us he died, that for him we might live." I'd like to challenge you to not live for yourself anymore, but to live for him who loved you and gave himself for you. Can he depend on you to do that? Can he? You know, Paul was one who could be depended on to live that way. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, you recall this classic statement. When he said, "For to me to live," what's the rest of that? "Is Christ, and to die is gain." When you look at the life of Paul, you look at an individual who could be depended on to live for Jesus. Can he depend on you? But then from this second verse, let me ask us this question. Can he depend on you to go preach the gospel? The song says, "Go preach the gospel, all who will may hear. Through him be free from all fear. Bid them believe to repent and obey, walk in the newness of life." Can he depend on you to do that? You know, in Mark 16, 15 and 16, the Lord, in the giving of the Great Commission, charged his apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Can he depend on you to do that? You know, it's important that folks hear the gospel. In Romans 10:13, Paul said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's anybody and everybody, right? And then he goes on to tell how you do that. He asks some questions in verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" And then he said, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" We want folks to call on the name of the Lord so as to be saved, right? Well, in order for that to take place, they've got to hear. And they cannot hear without a preacher. That's where you and I come into. Can he depend on you? In Acts 8 and verse 4, I read where it is said of first century Christians, they went everywhere preaching the word. They could be depended on, couldn't they, to go preach the gospel. And when you read Acts 11, 19 through 21, you find that some of those who were going everywhere preaching the gospel came to a little place called Antioch. And in Antioch, they preached the word. They preached the gospel. And the Bible reports the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. You know what produced that? when they could be depended on to go preach the word. That's how the church in Antioch was planted. And it grew and was so established that it became the evangelistic base of Paul and Silas and Barnabas and others' efforts to go preach the gospel as they were sent forth from that church. And there's a need for folks like you and me to go and share the gospel with others to the extent of our ability and opportunity. Can't depend on you? To bid them believe, to repent, and to obey. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hebrews 11 and in verse 6. But there's more to it than just believing. Except ye repent, the Lord said, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. And when men asked, what shall we do? They were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you. In Acts 2 and verse 38. In Acts 3 and 19, the apostle said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. If you want to have your sins blotted out, repentance is absolutely important. But it doesn't stop there. He didn't just say in the song, bid them believe to repent, but then to obey. It's always been true that man has to obey. Read the book of Deuteronomy and try to count the number of times Moses in the plain of Moab appealed to the people to obey the Lord. And that thread is woven throughout the New Testament, like in Hebrews 5 and 8 and 9 when it's talking about Christ. How that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. If you want to be saved, you've got to obey him. And I reckon John had the final word about that in the final book in Revelation 22 and verse 14, when he said, blessed are they that do his commandments and may have right into the city. Bid them believe to repent and obey. Walk in newness of life. You know that comes from Romans 6, 3 and 4. When Paul reminded the Romans, know ye not, or don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was buried, rose from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Can he depend on you to go preach the gospel? And in connection with that, in that third verse, the question is asked, have you told others the story of love, showing them what they should do? One reason we're here is to teach others, right? 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit that a faithful man who shall be able to teach others also. Have you told others? Have you showed them what they need to do? You know, the scriptures put a lot of emphasis on bringing others to the Lord. And one of the finest examples of that is when Andrew found his brother and he brought him to Jesus. Some of us have great difficulty bringing others to the Lord because we can't even bring ourselves. You know, in 2 Corinthians 8, the Bible says they first gave their own selves to the Lord, right? And other things will fall into their proper place when we learn that. Let me ask us another question. Can he depend on you to keep the light glowing? Did you notice in verse 2, after walk in the newness of life, the song says, keep the light glowing to show them the way. That's kind of important, isn't it? You take a fella out here in a large body of water. You've got a lighthouse that kind of shows the way, right? And it's important to that mariner that the light be kept glowing. If the light goes out, he could be lost and suffer peril. It's perilous if you and I don't keep the light glowing. Because if we don't keep the light glowing, who's going to Keep it glowing. And the famous passage about light glowing would be that which is found in the mountain sermon in Matthew chapter 5. I'm sure you know it well. Where the Lord said in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." That's you and me. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." That's so true, isn't it? If you had a little candle, the lights were out and it was pitch dark, and you had a little candle on the floor. The higher the candle is raised, the more light it gives in the room. Have you noticed that? And you and I need to keep the light glowing and allow that to be on a candlestick, not hid under a bushel. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." One reason perhaps many fail to give glory to God is because of a failure on the part of some of the disciples to keep the light glowing. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul said, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now." It's not a matter of what you used to be, it's what are you now. He said, "You're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." This book often appeals to the Christian's walk. That is how we live. We need to live in such a way as to keep the light glowing, to show them the way. Writing the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This nation is pretty crooked and perverse, isn't it? Getting more and more that way every day. We got to keep the light glowing. How we do that? Look at verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. That's how we do it. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 105. And by holding forth the word of life, like Lady Liberty, holding the torch, we keep the light glowing. And as one song we sometimes sing suggests, brighten the corner where you are. We all need to do that, don't we? And then finally, from the song, "Can He Depend on You?" Look at the chorus. "Can He depend on you, His blessed will to do?" Can He depend on you to do His will? God has a will, and His will is to be obeyed. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." I call your attention to what we heard read so well just a few moments ago by our brother Joel. In Luke 12, 42 to 48, how he talked about that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Does that describe you? You know, there's more involved than just knowing his will. There are some people that have no inkling as to what God's will is. Wouldn't know it. But I venture to say that everybody in this room this afternoon has some knowledge of God's will, right? Those of us who are of accountable age anyway. Let me ask you, are you doing it? Can He count on you? Can He depend on you? And I ask myself that. John, can He depend on you to do His will? You know, if I'm not doing His will, then I'm not prepared. You see the connection in the story between preparation and obedience? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, writing the church at Thessalonica, Paul appealed to the Christians to the will of God. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." You see, God's will involves us abstaining from some things. Can He depend on you to do that? And in chapter 5 and verse 18, he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Can he count on you to do his will? In 1 John 2:17, John said, "The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Shows the value of doing God's will, doesn't it? You'll abide forever. Can he depend on you to do his will? Will you be crowned with the faithful and true? Can he depend on you? There's coming a day in the which we'll stand before the Lord to give an account of our words and our deeds. And there'll be those who will hear him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And then there'll be some who will be crowned with the faithful and true, who will hear him say, as recorded in Matthew 25 and verse 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." In Revelation 2 and 10, the Lord said through John, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Will you be crowned with the faithful and true? Remember, you can depend on him. But the question is, can he depend on you? Maybe you're in this audience and you've not yet become a Christian. Everything's been made convenient. We're going to sing a song to invite you to render obedience to the gospel, number 613. You've heard the truth. Would you believe it? Would you be moved and motivated to repent, to turn your life around, to no longer live for yourself, but to live for the Lord who died for you? And then to confess with your mouth, "I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will be glad to take you to a place of water, to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that you might be added to the church." And then as a Christian, as a church member, as a kingdom citizen, to be of such a nature that you can be depended on, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so that you can be crowned with the faithful and true. Maybe you've already done all of that, but you've drifted away. You've not been as faithful as you need to be. You realize you can't be depended on. There's sin in your life. You're like the one we read about, beaten with many stripes because you know his will, but you've not been doing it. We'd like to appeal to you today to repent of that, to come forward and let it be known that you've not been doing what's right and you want to live for him. You want to quit living for yourself. You want to do his will, so as to be crowned with the faithful and true. We invite you now as we stand and sing. Won't you come?